Welcome to Copilot Connection.
We're here to share with you all the news, insights, and capabilities of the Microsoft Copilot ecosystem from across the entire Microsoft stack. I'm Zoe Wilson, and I'm an executive at Avanade in our modern work business. I'm an MVP and a regional director and a Viva Explorer.
And I'm Kevin McDonald. I'm a Microsoft MVP, a Viva Explorer, and, I've got a new role at Avanade. Zoe and I were just debating this before about exactly what I talk about here, but I've moved into the Center for AI in a global role with a big focus on driving out the Copilot strategy. So I'm going to find a nice catchy phrase for that doesn't sound too scary, but really exciting. And thank you for everyone at Avanade who's helped make that happen. But enough about me. Copilot Connection will be releasing episodes as podcasts and on YouTube with insights from experts across the community and Microsoft on what the different areas of all the Copilots are, the impact they can make to you and your organization, what you need to do to prepare for them and to start implementing now, and even how you can extend them.
I like the way you just sneaked past your new role there, Kevin, without even giving me a chance to jump in and say a huge congratulations. I think it is going to be really exciting having you working with me to look at all of the different Copilots, and it's going to be really great, I think.
Well, I have to work with you on this role.
No escape. Some might see that as a good thing. So before we get into things, I just wanted to say a happy new year to everybody who's listening. Welcome to 2024. And this is the first episode of the new year. And this week, we're going to be reviewing some of the latest Copilot news. There hasn't been a huge amount that's come out over the festive period, but there has been a little bit of news, and sharing our thoughts for the year ahead in the world of Copilots.
But hang on, Zoe, didn't we say that I was going to do a solo episode about extensibility? Don't panic, that is coming. We're going to record that next week and talk a bit more about that. But we wanted to prepare and bring a bit more detail to that. So that will be coming on the next episode as well. So don't worry, we haven't forgotten about that.
Yeah, 100%. I think extensibility is such an important topic. We wanted to make sure that we could really do it justice.
Yeah, exactly. And because we don't want to just go into the what you can do, we really want to cover the why as well. And Zoe didn't like what I had, so we've got to redo that.
Yeah, blame me, why don't you? So on to the news. And first things first, Copilot apps for iOS and Android.
Yeah, absolutely. These were interesting ones. I think they came out for Android first, didn't they? And then you can see they followed up here with the iOS, the ones for Apple on there. I'm going to do the nice pitch before we get cynical. Effectively, it's that ability to kind of have that nice text box that you can ask it things. You can use voice as well, which is great. So you can almost go, "Hey, Copilot," although you have to click the button before people get too excited. You've got that DALL-E integration, so you can create images with words. You can get it easily building up content. Lots of exciting things that you absolutely couldn't do in the Bing app previously.
Have you downloaded the app, the Copilot app, not the Bing app?
Do you know, that's a good question. I think I did, but I don't think I've opened it. I do have it here. Let's flash it up just to prove it. You've got the nice logo that comes up. One of the reasons why was, I do use the Bing app quite a lot when asking questions. It comes down very helpful at the kitchen table when I'm having arguments with the kids. I just ask Bing and Bing proves me right, which is great fun on there. But one of the problems I had with it, what I love about the Microsoft Copilot, the artist formerly known as Bing Chat Enterprise, is you've got that guarantee that you can wrap that round. So I've been using that on my personal M365 tenant. We use it on the Avanade tenants within there, and it guarantees your data is going no further than that. The Copilot app as it is will only work with personal accounts, and therefore you haven't got that guarantee within there, which I think is a bit of a shame. That put me off a little bit.
Yeah, I think I think having that enterprise protection is really key. And on the one hand, I understand why they've pushed out this Copilot app, but the other part of me thinks, almost, why is it necessary? I've had the Bing app on my phone for ages, and I, like you, I use Copilot really extensively. So I don't even use Microsoft Designer as a standalone app anymore. If I want to create images, I do that inside the Copilot part of the Bing app, which has, as far as I understand it, it has all the same functionality as the standalone Copilot app. So, you know, I've definitely in two minds with this. On the one hand, I think, you know, yeah, it's good that they've kind of got an app, and maybe it's just the first in a planned series of things and integrations and stuff. But for me, I haven't even downloaded it because the Bing chat, the Copilot functionality in that does what I need it to do.
Yeah, I think it's a brand. I guess if people are searching for Copilot, this will come up now. So I guess maybe it's been driven by that, but I wouldn't get too excited.
Okay, talking about excitement, what do we have next?
Another thing to get really excited about. I said I was going to start positive on this. Coming next year, and we're going to talk about this a bit more in a minute, it's going to be, according to this Microsoft blog, the year of AI-powered Windows PCs. And what does that mean? What are we going to see with this AI-powered Windows machine? There's going to be a button called Copilot. And what that's going to do is open Copilot.
Which Copilot?
Windows
Copilot.
I think it'd be that integrated one.
Yeah, it's a button that will open Copilot in Windows. So from an enterprise perspective, if organizations haven't rolled out, you know, if they're still on Windows 10, if they're not on Windows 11 yet, it won't do anything. If they're on Windows 11, but they haven't actually deployed
yeah. PCs, so that would come with Windows 11 anyway.
Yeah.
On there.
Well, yeah, but if it's an enterprise build, imagine if it's an enterprise organization who buys a whole heap of PCs that have this button on, but their build doesn't actually include it yet.
I now have this image of someone having to put a little sticker over the Copilot logo for all the Windows 10 ones.
I was chatting to Luke Evans about this last night, and he for those of you who don't know Luke well enough to know his hobbies, one of his hobbies is mechanical keyboards, and he was laughing about this because he was saying, like, why do you need a whole new button for it when you could just remap an existing key? And I think Scott Hanselman actually had a video of him mapping an emoji button on his keyboard to turn it into the Copilot button.
Yeah, it's nice. And I think, again, with this one, it's the sentiment it brings. It's bringing Copilot front and center. I think that year of AI-powered Windows PCs, I think there's a lot more. I think we talked, it was in last episode or one before, about there's more coming with Copilot in Windows on there. And I have noticed that the naming of that has occasionally creeped by as being wrong in different places. But Copilot in Windows... they've got it right on this blog, will bring more and more. And I hope this is just an indication of more and more of that coming. But maybe I'm being cynical because a lot of people are getting very excited and sharing this post an awful lot. And I've gone like, woo, a new button. Yay.
Yeah, I think I
replied to someone. I hear that noise of thousands of keyboard manufacturers slapping their heads at the same time having to remap things. But.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, isn't it? And I think as the different Copilots become more integrated, and what I mean by that is as enterprises roll out Copilot in Windows and they can use that as a way to potentially get into other Copilots that are available to them, I think it will become even more meaningful. But Yeah, well, it's early days, isn't it? And I think you're right. It's a signal of intent, but I'm not sure it warrants the level of excitement we've seen on social media. And maybe that's just a symptom of the fact that it's been 2 weeks without much news, and it's a new year, and everyone's getting super excited about anything.
So if you have shared that, and I know we did share about this on the Copilot Connection Twitter, we're not mocking you on there. We're just not as excited as some people are. But I think what this does correlate is that talk about AI and hardware, and we talked a bit about this with Ignite and the kind of top to bottom, and the fact that Microsoft was looking at their data centers and things like that. This is now an indication that AI in Surface is going to be coming front and center. One bit of news I did see come through is that Apple's iPhone designers leaving to go and work with Jony Ive, the original creator, the designer for the iPhone, and also Sam Altman on AI hardware. And I thought, this is very interesting. That's going to be something to watch. I know this isn't technically Copilot to get in with the full theme, but I think that it really gives that view that we're going to see more hardware that's powered and designed for working with AI on that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the reality of that is as well.
Yeah, that is interesting. And actually, when I was looking for news to cover, I was typing into the search engine to get the links for the new iOS and Android apps. One of the autocomplete suggestions was, will Copilot work with CarPlay? And actually, when I dug into it, it wasn't Microsoft Copilot. It was some sat-nav product called Copilot with a capital P. But actually, that set me thinking, when you think about device integration and hardware and the different ways that we could interact with Copilot, being able to use it with CarPlay is super interesting, because you can imagine, being in the car and asking Copilot to catch you up with stuff and give you insights from meetings and take actions for you. And, that's really interesting, I think.
Yeah, I did start building one of those that was going to be a Teams app that would use the Teams AI and allow you to do a bit of voice, but never quite got there. So yeah, if someone else could make that happen, that would be really useful. It just remind me of another link, and sorry, I'm going to go off piece here, Zoe. It reminds me of this other one, the Humane AI pin that was powered with the OpenAI integration. This, instead of being a phone, it's kind of connects to your clothing. And I think it can project a keyboard. I don't know if there's pictures of it here. Yeah, it can project onto your hands and things on that. But the general idea is you talk to it, and it uses OpenAI to kind of have those conversations and pull that information through. I think it's another example of that AI-powered, maybe not phone, maybe you could say this is a device. It's a kind of new way of interacting. And I think we'll see more and more of these things, that the first generation may not be perfect, and either the second generations of that, or what comes out later and is inspired by that, it will be a new, different way of looking at it. And I think that could be very interesting.
I mean, this looks like a whole new category of wearable devices.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
So yeah, I don't know much about that, and I keep looking to see whether I can purchase one. I don't think it's available yet. I know it's been revealed, but I'm going to try and find out more about that. I imagine it'll be US only. And yeah, you can see it's connecting to those AI models from Microsoft and OpenAI.
Does this mean that
Microsoft's going to come up with a new Windows phone? A Copilot phone? That's what everyone wants. Maybe not everyone.
Some people.
Yeah.
So the prices are in dollars, aren't they? And it says T-Mobile's network. So I'm assuming that's T-Mobile in the US to start with. But maybe some of our US friends and colleagues can test that for us.
Yeah. No, we'd be very interested to hear how that works as well. I'm also very jealous of the muscles there, but that's a completely different conversation.
I don't think there's AI to help with that. Well, not in real life, anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Before I lose it completely on there. Zoe, I think we said we covered the little bit of news that was there, and then maybe talk a bit about the year ahead.
Yeah. So, we kind of touched on it with the Windows blog, where we talked about 2024 being the year of AI-powered Windows PCs. I saw you, for those of you who are listening rather than watching, Kevin just flinched quite heavily when I said that. but one of the things I was asking Kevin before we jumped into this recording was whether this would be the year of AI or year of Copilot. I know that in the past, Microsoft has had a year of Yammer or a year of Teams. And I was wondering if we'll actually see that from a branding and a marketing perspective.
So yeah, go on. I'm going to go on with cynical. How many years of Yammer did they end up having in the end? Because it definitely went on for at least 18 months, if not two and a half years on there. And I think that's probably where my cynicism of this is. I think we all know it's going to be a big year for AI. There's going to be lots of things happening with it. Please, any marketing teams out there, don't call it year of. It opens it up. I think the year of Yammer makes people flinch still, because a lot of that was kind of relaunching Yammer with a nice new look and feel. But many people who've been using Yammer for years were like, yes, but it's the same thing. We've been asking for new functionality and nothing's happened. We want some reality behind this. And I think it's why that phrase year of always makes me a little bit nervous. It's just kind of people jumping on it and trying to make it excitable. So yeah, I do think it will be the year of AI. I think it will be massive this year, will continue to be everywhere. I think we'll also see that tipping point of us talking about it versus actually doing it and getting into the reality of some of these things. And I think in that sense, it'll be the real year of AI versus last year, which was kind of the hype and excitement. Now we'll see the reality of it hit in a positive way. I know that sounds like I'm being cynical and saying, yeah, it's all going to fall apart. No, not at all. I think now will become the reality of this actually happening. And that is definitely what I'm excited about.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think the way I first put it to you is it going to be the year of Copilot? And then we kind of talked about it and said, is it the year of AI? But I actually feel like 2023, you could say that was the year, not the year of AI, but it was the year that AI accelerated with all of the advancements in generative AI.
I was going to say, it's more that year of Gen AI, wasn't it? That was the big phrase that came through, and that it feels like that's disappeared. Maybe not disappeared, but certainly been used less and less out there.
I think generative AI is still a really important topic, but I think what we're seeing now is the impact of the Copilot branding, because what I'm seeing more of is people talking about custom Copilots rather than Gen AI. So I feel like it's almost just a change in vocabulary, and everything instead has morphed into this Copilot world. And we've got things that you can buy, things that you can extend, and then things that you can build in that custom Copilot space, which is what we were calling Gen AI before the world went Copilot crazy.
We should do a show on that. I think you're right about it going into that Copilot world, certainly in the Microsoft centric space. I think outside of that, it's just become AI. People aren't differentiating between the two different things. It's now just AI, and it doesn't really matter what's using it. It's going back to that generic view of that, which I think is easier for people to go, what is this Gen AI thing? Who is she on there?
Yeah.
It's moving away from that, which I think is good as well.
Yeah, I think it creates an interesting challenge for us though, and actually it's a challenge that we've had with the fact that everything is a co-pilot, because you know, if I look at our organization and the way we're structured, and many other tech firms who are structured in a similar way aligned to those Microsoft solution areas, if people are talking about a co-pilot, the co-pilot solution that a client will get is going to depend on who they're talking to and the world that they sit in. And one of the things that, you know, I've talked to lots of other MVPs and RDs about this as well, because one of the things that I worry about is whether people are just going to rush to building custom Copilot solutions for things that you can do out of the box. And one of the examples that I use of this is, a few years ago, I worked at another organization, and I was in internal IT at that point, big global firm, and we used a third-party GSI to do a lot of the like SharePoint dev work and stuff like that for us. And they'd built loads of custom solutions that were custom developed. And when you got under the hood of what they actually were, they could have been achieved with a SharePoint list. If you ask a dev to do something, instead of thinking about, okay, like, what are the basic building blocks of this? Can we do this out of the box with just a bit of config? They're like, okay, what do I need to develop to create this fancy thing? So I think that as technologists, there's this thing that we need to navigate where we actually understand what the right solution is for clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that fits nicely with one of the articles you shared from our good friend Mark Rackley on five tips for your organization. I think the bottom one of those, especially, of it's not only Gen AI. You know, not everything has to be AI. Well, certainly doesn't have to be Gen AI. Not everything has to be AI. Some of it is just automating what you do in a more effective way instead of being completely manual. Now, I would take the flip side. You know what? If someone improves things and you say it's AI, even if it isn't, fantastic, go for it. As long as it's in a sustainable way without technical debt and could be done in a cost-effective way, similar to what you were talking about with SharePoint lists and other things. But I think this fits with a lot of the AI stuff we hear about will be marketing. That's going to be the push for it. The reality of what it is underneath will be a whole host of different things within there as well.
Yeah, completely. I mean, if I look at lots of the lists of use cases that I've seen for Gen AI or Copilot, I'd say as a general rule, probably 60-80% of these lists that I've seen can be achieved out of the box with either standard Microsoft 365 capability or insert other platform of choice. So I think
don't insert Google, but yeah, you could use that.
other Microsoft platform of choice. Yeah. So this, I thought this list from Mark was great. And one of the other things I really liked on here was that top one about training your users on how to create effective prompts, helping people understand how to get the most out of these tools from the start instead of kind of asking them to go and do that whole trial and error on their own, I think is really key. Helping people with better tools to be able to prompt and get good results is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And even that second one around assessing your org data, I know we've got from our notes, these are the two next big things of the year ahead. It's going to be getting people ready to work with these prompts and making sure your own data, your own content is in the right way. And I'd say that's, you know, Mark here has talked about security by obscurity is not an option. You know, a lot of this AI stuff is things we've been saying time and time again over the years, and we're just kind of reiterating it again now on there is true. But I think also structuring your data, putting it in a way that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense to a human, it won't really make sense to AI as well. You know, the whole point of this generative AI is I don't want to say it thinks like a human, that's going to terrify some people, but it kind of uses that same steps to think through things. So if you can't find stuff as a human, it's going to be the same with these large language models trying to get it to that. So making sure you assess what is relevant, clear out things that aren't relevant, make sure you boost the right things, add the right metadata, all those good things. Make sure your content's there. We'll talk a bit about this in a minute, about a custom Copilot I built around connecting, basically for our custom Copilot challenge that we're setting up. But just because I put all the content, I transcribed all the content from the Ignite videos, that wasn't enough. I had to tweak it. I had to put some information around it to make it useful. And you had to kind of iterate with that. It's going to be the same with your content, and organizations that are planning ahead for that and thinking about it will be the ones that succeed with this.
Yeah. And I think that heavy lifting, because I'm not going to lie, it is heavy lifting that a lot of organizations have just kind of ignored or put on the back burner or not deemed important enough. What I think we'll see a lot of in 2024 is organizations really having to get to grips with that foundational like information architecture, content management, data governance, again, regardless of which Microsoft platform this data is in, making sure that your data is in a good state is going to be really key to get the best results. And that's not to say that you can't get good or okay results out of things like Copilot for Microsoft 365 without doing it, but actually to be able to use it safely and effectively and to get the best quality results and the most value out of that investment, organizations will need to do that heavy lifting. And I think we'll start to see a lot of focus in 2024 on doing that heavy lifting and getting things into that good state.
Yeah. And I also say, look at, you know, if you don't want to or certainly can't transform a whole organization quickly, look at those point areas where you could do something more effectively in a smaller area, control that, build your Gen AI around that as well. I feel we're veering onto stuff I know we're going to talk a bit about in the next episode, so I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to be a little bit rude to Mark and say, which Microsoft Copilot is he talking about there? But maybe that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, so I knowing Mark, I think he's probably talking about all of them.
I hope so, yeah, because I think that is true for a lot of these. That logic holds for all of them as well.
I think like us, Mark is an MVP as well, isn't he? He's quite particular about naming and things like that. So I think that he's talking across the board here.
Well, given the benefit, you're far too nice to Mark. on that. Come back to you were talking about that main one about creating effective prompts and learning how to use it. I did see a nice post from someone, Abram Jackson, who's the PM for extensibility of Microsoft 365 Copilot. And he made a comment, I think I remember seeing the original one of this, about offering large language models a cache tip will probably improve the output. And actually, scientists have found this. There's a link, and I'll put this into the show notes, to his post and to the scientific paper where they did some analysis of this. But they've actually put out, off the back of that, 26 prompt principles that they found useful in there. And they found that if people... if you add on there, I'm going to tip you X amount of dollars for a better solution, you get a more effective solution. And I think, Zoe, you said you were talking to someone recently who found similar things with asking about code as well.
Yeah, I was talking to an old colleague of mine last night, and he used to work for me. He's now a front-end dev working at a startup, and he was saying that he's using AI paired programming. I don't think it's GitHub Copilot, but he's using something similar. And he was saying that, he can give a really well-constructed and detailed prompt about what he wants, and the result that he'll get back won't be the most optimal code. So then he'll say, can you give me the same thing but more efficient, please? And what he'll get back that second time will be much more efficient code that achieves the same thing. And he was saying to me, he just doesn't understand why it's not giving that most optimal, efficient response that first time.
Because it's been trained on humans.
Well, maybe it needs to offer tip.
Yeah, exactly. You should get them to try that, actually, and see what it is. So I really like this page on there as different examples. You know, it's how do we get to these different ways of doing it? You know, getting the examples, incorporate the following phrases, your task is, your must is, that way of getting what you want out of it will change. And I know we've talked about a lot around that for Copilot for Microsoft 365, getting those trained prompts there. I think these more generic ones that you'd use in Microsoft Copilot and the kind of wider large language models, getting to know these different ones and making those natural to you is really useful. I love this one of use leading words like think step by step. Again, we've covered this in the show. We've talked about more senior managers used to delegating and explaining things to people and being more successful. This just fits in with a lot of that different ways of putting through. I forget a lot of this. I've now bookmarked this to kind of come back and remind myself when I don't get the results I want, think about these different things as well.
Yeah,
I do say that. I don't like that stick version of you will be penalized if you don't do it. Two things on that. One is there the kind of being nasty. I wouldn't do that because, you know, if Terminator does happen, I don't want to upset the machines. But it does say here that there is no need to be polite. I know I always talk to Alexa and the other voice ones. Sorry, I hope that hasn't triggered anyone's off. I always say please and thank you because I think it's the nice thing to do. But it's saying especially
in the event of a Terminator type incident, you want the machines to recognize that you've been nice and polite.
Because I'm sure they'll recognize me and say, you're the one that said please, so we'll be okay. I also do it because, especially with some of those where it's been trained on, hopefully it trains on slightly nicer language versus do this, do that. But anyway, definitely going off topic again there.
And for those of you who are listening who can't see this on screen, we'll put all the links in the show notes as well. I definitely recommend taking a look at these prompts. I think this is really fascinating.
Yeah, it's a really nice way of putting it there. So I feel we've got a slightly negative show. It's that kind of post-New Year, too many hangovers, too much food and things like that. Okay, sorry, that's just me. But another one, I know you kind of get into a social media bubble with things, but I feel like I've seen this a lot with from Twitter of the kind of counters to AI and things like the New York Times is suing OpenAI and Microsoft over use of the copyrighted work. And I think I'm hearing more and more stories coming through. This feels like something that's bubbling up within there. And I'm seeing a lot of people who've said, no, we've hidden things. But I think the example is like, could you draw a picture of a yellow sponge creature? And funny enough, it creates SpongeBob almost exactly within there, because it's obviously been trained from some of that copyrighted material. Even if you ask it to create SpongeBob, it won't do that. It obviously has that material underneath. I know we've Microsoft, and I think this is a great one. If you're using Copilot for Microsoft 365, has guaranteed that copyright protection, that if you are sued, there's a protection in place there. But it feels like there's this swell starting to happen. And I hope this is something. Goodbye. Sorry, just being said goodbye to someone there. Not sure who that was. I hope this swell isn't coming through too much from it. And this is a kind of counterbalance to the excitement, not a blocker to a lot of this as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And again, I've got kind of two minds on this, because, you know, on the one hand, I think it's really important that people's copyrights are respected. But on the other hand, it would be such a shame if innovation and all of the potential change and good that this technology could bring is slowed down or hampered by lawsuits.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's finding a balance. I can completely understand. And I think things like musicians, you know, we're hearing more about AI generated music. Artists whose living is based on this, it's finding a balance between finding a way that they can change and still make things from it, and seeing them lose their business while others make a lot of money from it. I can see the challenges, and I just hope it's not ridiculous. I can see in here it says that the New York Times approached Microsoft and OpenAI in April to raise concerns, and those haven't come to anything. So hopefully this is just a kind of step forward to try and push something more happening. But I would say the other person, Gary Marcus, and probably this is where some of my social media bubble, I've seen a lot of his threads. In fact, there is the picture of SpongeBob and animated sponge pulling those through. He's been doing a good job at highlighting a lot of those things that have come through from that. So if you are interested in that, do go and follow Gary Marcus on that one. Should we go on something more positive?
Yes, let's.
So on there. I think the other big thing that we'll see this year is extensibility. You know, Zoe, you were talking about custom copilots and that being there. But I think extensibility and going beyond that off the shelf will be the big theme for the year. As people get more used to what you can do and where the limitations are, they start to want to bring more of their own data into it. They want to start doing their own custom copilots for specific solutions. I think this will be the year that really jumps ahead with that as well.
Yeah, and I think so there's a couple of different levels to this, because I think that we'll see a level of Microsoft-driven integration. And this, you know, this isn't something that I've had confirmed. This is just kind of my read of where I think the Copilot ecosystem will go. I think we'll start to see more and more examples of the different Copilots integrating with each other and playing well with each other. So coming back to that Windows Copilot key or Copilot in Windows, being able to use that as a front door through to other Copilots that a user has access to. If a user has Copilot for Microsoft 365, and they have access to other co-pilots, being able to access those other co-pilots inside that co-pilot for M365 ecosystem. So I think we'll see much more of that. And then there'll be all of these different layers of extensibility and plugins and bringing data in. And it's just going to create this really awesome web of data and information and a whole new way for people to interact with.
Not internet web.
No, not a no. but I think it's super exciting.
And I think, again, we'll see the hype cycle of people like, yeah, I want to bring everything in. The reality of, I want to create a task, typing that away. Okay, what sort of task do you want to create? Do you want to take a task for this, a task here, a task that? The reality of how you work out the direction that you want to go, especially for these almost co-pilot of co-pilots that will come together, that there's going to be an interesting juggling act between what people expect and the reality of it that I think will settle down very quickly. I don't think I'm giving too much away to say that I know there's a lot being worked on around that and around how that works. And I think you can see, for those who've used Copilot for Microsoft 365, a lot of the early feedback that people get is like, oh, hang on, I can only do this here and not there. And why can't I do this in that place? And I think a lot of that is to make sure that it works well with what it's intended to do. And then gradually how they make sure that works effectively with other things will be the evolution of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talking on that, I did actually, my first sharing session of the year was on the Microsoft 365. I can never remember which call it is, but one of the formerly known as PMP calls, now the Microsoft 365 and Power Platform Development Community call, and shared, I was going to say a 15-minute intro. It crept into 20 minutes, and big apologies to those who came after and I ate up some of their time. I'm still feeling guilty about that. But I talked about the custom co-pilot that I built there. And you can see for those on the screens that the challenge was Ignite is big. There's loads of stuff. Loads was about AI. Can I use AI to digest it and look at that, and looking at some of the tools that we could use there within Azure? So this is very much in that custom co-pilot world of things, exposing that out to people so people could query that information and turn that content into knowledge. So I'll put a link to that for those who want to watch the rest of it. I would also say there was a great call from Enya Linkage afterwards about forms, but especially John Russell and Mike Galloway afterwards. And I think we're going to try and get them onto the Copilot connection fairly soon, talking about model-driven apps and Power Platform using some of the OpenAI goodness as well. And really, that was another custom Copilot. So we're seeing more of these come through and being, as Zoe said earlier, called custom Copilots too.
Yeah, I think the future episodes on extensibility are going to be super interesting. I'm very excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking forward to that next show. And also, if you are interested in that and getting more into the detail, not necessarily of why, but how you extend co-pilots, Gary's, I think it's actually a series of sessions. I might be wrong in that, but certainly his first session on that on the 9th of January. That's going to be on one of those community calls as well. And he's going to talk about extending co-pilots within that one. And I know he's got some great samples, and that will definitely be available as a recording once that's taken place as well. Which is good, because we'll be hearing from Gary in the next episode as well.
Fantastic.
I think... Based on those little bits of silence that we've just left in there, and if I was a little bit more energetic, would have edited out. But instead, I'm just going to apologise because I'm rubbish at doing things like that, and it just sounds awful. So we'll leave those in for you to get confused. But we'd love to hear from you somewhere around. You know, what do you think about this year ahead? I almost said, what do you think about this year of AI? Don't talk about that. But what do you think is going to be the in the year ahead? What are the challenges that you see? What are the opportunities and excitement on there? We'd love to hear what people think around that.
Yeah, and what you'd like to see as well. So not just what you think will happen, but actually what would you really like to see from Microsoft, from OpenAI, in this world of co-pilots and generative AI?
And if you send it to us and we talk about it on the show, when it actually happens, you can go back and tell your friends, say, look, I said it. They mentioned it. I told you I said that. And they will probably still nod and go, yeah, yeah, whatever.
But, yeah, what are you talking about?
On that.
Brilliant. Well, that was a great discussion, Kevin. Good to catch up. Good to kick off the Co-Pilot Connection with the first episode of 2024. Episode 8 overall, I think.
Episode 8, yeah. Exciting. Yeah. Lucky number in Chinese.
Yeah, it's a lucky number in Chinese. Obviously, New Year, big thing. I know it's not the Chinese New Year yet, but the New Year is a big thing for the Chinese as well. So, yeah, this is going to be a lucky year for us, I think.
I hope so. I hope so as well. And yeah, we've got a lot more guests lined up that we probably need to talk about in a minute, trying to line some of those up and get those on board and brought along as well. But if they're people you want to hear about, I will be honest, that extensibility show that we've got lined up was driven by someone messaging me and saying, really want to hear more on that. So do let us know. We do genuinely listen to that. So let us tell us what you want to hear, especially there's particular people you want to come on or you want to come on, let us know and we'll try and make that happen as well.
Yeah, we've got lots more planned. We've got a few guests who we're already working with to line up those interviews. So lots of exciting things coming for you. And stay tuned for the rest of 2024 as the Co-Pilot Connection will be here to hopefully cut through some of the hype and the noise and help make things make a little bit more sense.
Maybe broadcast some of it, but what can we do? And don't forget to subscribe and get everyone else subscribing as well. But otherwise, thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, everyone.